Alright, so we're recording as my fucking cats are going nuts in the background. We're here with Davey Hetfield. Davey. First off, fucking another member of Broforce. Always a good time. We have a couple beers.
Yeah. Hashtag Broforce.
You just got done having a great match tonight. Kicking the shit out of Zach Rain and Bronco. It's always a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, let's bullshit a little bit about you for people who don't know you. Fuck, if anyone even listens, even if not, just to listen to our own voices is always fun.
Right, yeah.
Fucking let's just have you take it away with you and how you got in the business. Just
the humble beginnings, as it were.
The humble beginnings.
So like a lot of people don't like to talk about it because it's like this whole, you know, they're scared of it being like taboo or whatever.
I really don't know where this is going.
Like, I really don't care because like your life is your life and how you get into it's how you get into it. And as long as you're not killing anybody or doing a detriment, like, why not?
Absolutely.
So, I started off 16 years old, me and my buddy from school, we were like, we really wanted to get into wrestling. Like, I barely even watched it when I was 16. Like, I just kind of, I caught SmackDown and ECW when I was over at my buddy's house. And so, after a while, I was just like, you know what? Like, I kind of really like doing this or like watching this. And I was like, I wonder what it'd be like to do it. And my buddy felt the same way. And he's like, well, what if we like, you know, try backyarding or whatever like that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, screw it. Why not? Like, we got nothing else better to do. And
I think you'd be surprised by how many people actually get into the business that way.
Yeah, that's why.
And everyone like, just so afraid to like talk about it because it has become that taboo thing to like not talk about.
That's why I'm going to break down that barrier. Like, if I can be one of those guys that can do that, like, look.
Let's be honest. If you love wrestling, you have suplexed somebody on their fucking head in your backyard at least once.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's how it is. Yeah. Like, you just, like, when you love it, you have to live through it first before you can go, that was terrible, that sucked, let me figure out how to be better. And
before you're like, hey mom, I want you to come pay $20 to see me at the show, you're like, hey, former best friend who we don't talk anymore, let me DDT you off this fucking roof because it'll be funny.
Like, like, you, I mean, you know, you just kind of, when you're dumb kids, you do what you think is like entertaining
for
you.
For sure.
So like for a while, it was just me and him, and like we did dumb stuff. Like there was a point in time where we went out on my deck and tried wrestling on my deck because it was like a 16-foot like deck, so we were like, ah, it's kind of like a ring.
It's like the same size and shape. So don't bump on it; it fucking hurts.
So we're like, ah, screw it. We'll just do that. So me and him are screwing around on this deck, and I actually get knocked out. Like, I completely get knocked out by this. Like, he did like a stunner or whatever, and I tried to do like this stupid bump. And I cracked my head off the deck, and I'm just out.
You tried to do the rock style, didn't you? You tried to flip back on your fucking head.
Yeah, so I completely do that, and I just knock myself out. So I'm, like, out for whatever period of time, and I see my buddy, like, over there snapping his fingers. He's like, hey, man, are you good? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, you're just laying there going, for, like, a minute.
I think you might have shit yourself at the same time.
And I'm just like, oh, well, that sucks. And then, like, I also jammed my shoulder. So like that sucked for like a week going to school where I'm just like, oh, I don't want to, that was my writing arms. I was like, I don't want to have to lift it for anything.
Everyone asked you what happened. You got to sound like a man. You're like, I was jerking off. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Like, I was doing the gimmick, man. Leave me alone. But, so we started doing stuff like that. And then after a while we were just kind of like, well, it's boring when it's just two of us. So I was like, maybe we should reach out or whatever. So he's like, watching these YouTube videos, and he finds these guys that call them, like, they had like the sort of their own name or whatever, like there was a fancy like company thing at the time. We thought it was insane. Like, we're just sitting there watching them do like the most shady, like almost kill your friend thing, and I'm just like, what in the world? Like, dude took a Guitar Hero guitar and, like, you know, picked him up like a powerbomb and then bashed the dude, top of the dude's head off with it. And, like, I was just like, what is going, like, at first, like, when I was watching it, I'm not even going to lie to you, I was like, these guys are, like, the best thing ever. Like, we need to, like, kind of learn from them or whatever. So he hit them up.
We need to learn from them. They hit each other with goddamn Guitar Hero guitar, but we need to learn from them.
Like I said, being dumb kids, you're just like, oh, they're the next ladder, they're the next rung in the ladder. So we're like, yeah, we need to, like, hit them up and see if they want to, like, collaborate with us. And
you guys do, like, an invasion angle? Like, backyard to backyard war?
That like later on we did.
That really happened?
Yeah, like we really like we did this whole thing where it was like the group of us that all collectively were from like the York area, and then we found, through those guys, we found a group of Lancaster guys.
That's fantastic.
And we found like this, there's a whole network for this thing. Like
it's like an underground fight club for kids nowadays. Like,
yeah, basically.
And what's sad is like I started out doing backyard wrestling too, which was completely stupid for this area because it was like the hardcore bullshit. It was basically like we fucking took a run at CZW's, you know, gimmick. But dude, it was a lot of like stupid hardcore stuff, light tubes, fucking homemade tables, you name it.
Yeah.
And it was always the most stupid shit. Like we were fucking kids powerbombing each other off of like garage roofs. Through fucking ladders and whatever else we could stack together, just like for the five kids that lived in the area to come watch, and you know, we thought we were fucking amazing at the time. But like when you go through that, like you don't realize how fucking insane like what you're putting your body through.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, dude, I look back, like Fairway had a backyard company when I was a kid and I wrestled there, and he's probably like, I think, what, 4 or 5 years older than I am?
Mm.
So I'm a little fucking kid going over to his yard fighting full-grown men who, by the way, like, no one knew it was fake.
Right, yeah.
So, like, these grown men are kicking the fuck out of me, and I'm like, yeah, wrestling's so much fun. It was like, there was police that probably should have been involved.
Yeah. And
to know this is, like, kids nowadays don't even, like, I don't know, man. They're like backyard wrestling is like a thing of the past. It's almost like skateboarding. Like that phase came through. Everybody played a little bit of Tony Hawk on the PS3 or PS1, whatever the fuck it was at the time. The Wii. And then as soon as they're done playing it, they're like, yeah, I totally want to be a pro skater. And then like 2 years later, they're like, oh, well, no one's doing this anymore. The trend died. Like backyard wrestling is, to me, almost died off, other than the great like botches you see on YouTube of like people like breaking their fucking tailbone and whatnot.
Like right now, it's just a bunch of random snowflakes fighting each other.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Random boxing.
And it's silly shit, too. Like, I just watched a video the other day. Me and Gavin were watching Fell Army of 2018 or something. And we saw this dude try to give a power driver off a roof through a table. Like, so let's break that down for a second. You're maybe 17, 18.
Yeah.
Maybe graduated, maybe not. You're at that crest of I might be done with school. I'm gonna fucking ruin this other kid's life by pow driving him off of a roof through a piece of plywood that we're gonna call a table.
Right.
Well, he drops the kid midair. The kid that was supposed to take the pow driver somehow magically like landed. It was a long fall, so it was bad, but not as bad as the kid that was supposed to be giving it.
Yeah.
The kid that was giving it lands on his ass, and I guarantee you, somewhere in his spine, it was broken because the sound this kid made was amazingly terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you feel bad because you know he's in pain, but you can't help but to be like, dude, you did this so you fucking deserve everything you get.
Right,
And I'm in tears laughing at the fact that that's what the fuck kids are doing nowadays. Like, I'm gonna explode my asshole by jumping off a goddamn roof.
Right, yeah. And, like, the thing that makes, like, it's such a difference nowadays because it seems so, like, ragtag, like, thrown together stuff, but like, when I was doing that, like, it was, like, super duper, like, organized and stuff like that. I mean, like, they called it, like, the Global Backyard Wrestling Network.
Shit.
Like, that's what it was. And, like, we had dudes from overseas, like, from, like, there was a dude from England. He flew over because he was on vacation for a month. And actually, like, we had a guy from England wrestle.
You had an international kids fight club of fake, like...
Yeah. And we
fucking backyard wrestling. That's amazing.
Yeah, like we went.
You might be the best promoter of backyard wrestling. Was it yours?
No, like I came in.
I need to know who this fucking Paul Heyman is of the backyard wrestling. Probably like 13 years old at the time.
Well, here's another thing too. Our ages like varied. So like there were a few of us who were like 14, 15, and like, you know, I was 16. My buddy was 15, and like a couple other guys that were like 18. We had dudes that were like 22, like doing this because they were like, you know, it was just a they.
You have the little kids, you have the teenagers, and you have the adults.
Yeah, and we just
when it comes to backyard, there's no age limit on getting your ass kicked. It happens to everybody.
Oh yeah, and it was like one of those things where it was just like, we all just came together, and it was like we were the equivalent of like weekend warriors for like the pros. Now we were just like that, but yarders. Because it's just like, well, you know, we're off school, so, like, we got this weekend to kind of just do whatever, so we might as well just go see, like, how cool we can be.
And you always have that one kid that has to, like, be the Shawn Michaels of the Backyard Company, and he has like Shawn Michaels actually or like his actual like entrance music that he has to play when he comes out to the backyard. I was that kid, just so you know.
that's another like crazy thing about it is like we honestly you give us a ring and like proper stuff and like you know if we like minus the fact that we needed trained and all that. Like, take that all away. Like, we could have legit been, like, a company because we had all of our own music. We set up all of our stuff. We had sound equipment. We even had a 12-foot ring for a while in Hanover. So, like, we were sitting there doing that. And, like, the guy that I know that ran the Hanover part, like, he still shows up to, like, ACW, like, James Ellsworth thing. Like, he shows up there and he just supports us. So, like, it kind of transcends the...
That's pretty crazy.
Like, the level stuff here. But they would go up to New York for this. Like, it was, like, the... What was the big it was like the Woodstock of like backyard wrestling up in New York. Like they would show up there.
I have no idea. I've never even heard of it.
Oh, I think it's called Woodstock. I might be wrong. It was like the big like in the '70s. It was like the big gathering.
Yeah, Woodstock. But
yeah, they did like this big thing where they would go up. It was called NYE, and they would
for backyard wrestling.
Yeah. And they
this is something I would totally pay to see, just so you know. Like,
yeah, no,
like sure. I want to go now. Like, would we see Richie Nightmare and Manic <You're>
right,
versus each other?
Like the gimmick on a pole match, like winner you and loser both leave the company.
You win,
forever.
You actually get to wrestle in a real ring,
right? But like they, these dudes would show up. I mean, it's like 100 to 150 of these like backyard guys, and we would just set up like they set up their own like put together ring. And they were just, like, it was almost like Beyond shows where, like, the locker room would come out and, like, watch. It was the same thing. And then we would come out and they would just do the matches. I never personally went because, like, I was never at that level at that point in time where they would want me to do that. But there were some higher profile dudes who went up there and did that. And it was crazy. And, like, they're
look
doing...
at guys like Matt Cross. I mean, that dude made a name for himself starting out in backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
The fucking Hardy Boys.
Yeah, they
You know what I mean? Like, you Mick have... Mick Foley. You have these guys. Every... Like I said, you always have somebody that does backyard wrestling because they have a passion for the business.
Yeah.
So, before we go any further on this, I actually did a podcast the other weekend for the Elite guys. Down in West Virginia. Kaiser, West Virginia. Maryland area. Funny thing is, we were always saying about there's two words that I hate hearing in indie wrestlers nowadays. One is dream, and the second is passion. Because everyone like they'll constantly use those words to explain why they're in the business.
Mm-hmm.
But like every time you hear either of those words, all you can do is roll your eyes because you're like, oh my god, I've heard it a million fucking times. Like, what do you think you bring to the table now? Like, all right, so actually, before we even get to that. Let's fast forward a couple years after. So you're a kid, you're backyard wrestling, you're doing all this crazy shit, and then like you finally want to take it seriously. Where do you go for training? Where did you really get your start?
So I did yarding up until I was 18. And
you yarded till you were 18?
Yeah,
I was an 18-year-old referee.
Were you? That's fucking awesome. This is his brother Jared, by the way, who was a 6-year-old referee. That's fucking amazing. Yeah.
So like we I yarded for 2 years. So like, I started at 16, I yarded for 2 years, and then I was doing this, like, it was almost like a weekly episodic thing that we put on YouTube. Like, straight up. We were doing this thing in Lancaster, we were putting up episodes, we worked. One of the guys actually heard that a training facility was opening for pro wrestling in Lancaster. And so he went over, and he's a local rapper in Lancaster area.
A local rapper. Isn't it weird how, like, the music industry has totally taken off with indie wrestling?
Yeah.
I sort of got every show I go to now, there's at least 3 people who are either a rapper or they're in some sort of band now.
Yeah. And he, like...
God damn it, Chris Jericho, you took the world by storm.
Yeah. He's doing good, though. So, like, his name's Chris, so, like...
Jericho?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Chris went up and he wanted to scout it out. So he comes back and he's like, guys, this stuff's legit. Like, they have guys that have worked, like, the local independents that I've gone, like, the shows that we've gone to. And he's like, who all would be interested in showing up? They're doing a free day. And I looked at my one buddy at the time and I was like, dude, we should totally do this. So, like, Chris, myself, and, like, 4 or 5, like, a handful of others, we all went and we did this free day. So I show up into, it was LCW, was the people who opened it up. And I show up to their training facility at a joint thing with Valor Pro Wrestling. And they said, hey, guys, like, we're doing a free day. This is for you to understand, like, what the business is really about. So we're going to have you do basic stuff. So, like, they were teaching us how to bump and run the ropes and stuff like that. And, like, bumping I already knew.
Yeah, day one shit.
Yeah, so, like, bumping I already knew. But, like, the whole proper run the ropes, proper headlocks and stuff, like, I didn't know how to do any of that.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, we're learning stuff. And so they go through and they invite certain people back. So, like, you know, hey, come back. We're going to work something with you or whatever. So... just about everybody from our handful of guys, like, they come up to us and they're like, hey, we want you to come back and, you know, do some stuff. So eventually, the guy who eventually became my trainer, Adrian Bliss, he comes up to me and goes like, hey, like, we see you have like a natural talent. So he's like, we want you to come back. He's like, we'll do a payment thing with you, but we really want to train you. We're interested because we think you got something. And I was floored by it because and this carries into even now.
That's the fucking call up for a yarder.
Yeah, like
that's your call up. Like, hey, we want you to be legit at this point.
Yeah. So like for me, I was floored because like even when I yarded and even up till now, I always thought myself as like, you know, like I'm not that good. I'm just okay. And you know, so for me, like to get that, I was just like, so they really think I have something? I was like, I just thought I was an idiot who like went around. Like jumping and landing on his back in the grass and stupid
before
stuff like
before
that.
We go any further, I need to know who did you emulate? Because all backyard wrestlers emulate somebody. Who were you? Okay, if you could be compared to a WWE profiled wrestler, who were you?
So it's funny that you say that because right as I started training, my trainer called me out on it, and he kind of like. Until I got my gimmick, he kind of, like, called me this. But I was always AJ Styles.
Dude, that's the same fucking thing that I've had to this day. To this day. People be like, dude, you're like AJ Styles' twin brother. I'm like, yeah, if AJ Styles had a fatter AJ Styles, that would be me. But, like, dude, the funniest shit is when we worked that show with AJ Styles, he's side by side with me. And I was like, hey, everyone says we're brothers. And he looks at me so serious. And he goes, nah, I don't see it.
Right. Like... And you're like, I'm glad I'm not.
Fuck you, you're my brother. Like, just accept it.
Like, you're just like, come on, give me the rub, man. Like, just a little bit. So, I was always like, because I had the blue, black, and white tights. I had the gloves that were like, kind of like, they were meant for.
So you had gear even when you did that?
Yeah. Like, I had gear and everything. Like,
dude, when we did this, it was all a bunch of kids with like tie-dye shit or like markers on shirts. Like, you actually had gear doing backyard wrestling.
Yeah, straight up. I mean, there were guys that had that, but I mean, I had it too for a point. But I went and like when I had.
How did you even know where to go to get gear at the time?
There was other guys that had gear, and they were like, "Hey, can you go to this website and like you can order it and you know get all this stuff." And I was like, "Whoa, like I could get some like real gear." I was like, "That's nuts."
So you had like even me, I've been doing this for 12 years, and everyone's like, "Dude. Your gear sucks. Like, you have, like, all black. Like, will you get some fucking custom shit already?" And I still haven't done it. But the fact is, you were a backyarder that had fucking better gear than I probably still have at this current time.
Well, like, I actually still have my gear from back then. Like, it's
do
like,
you?
Yeah, it sits in my closet. Like,
no shit, what was it?
It was, like, it was off of E-Lucha. Like, I got this
of course.
I got this E-Lucha gear, and it was, like, these dragon... They call them, like, the dragon, the twin.
There's always some sort of flames or, like, tribal shit.
It was, like, a tribal dragon thing. Like, it was white with a black outline, and it was on blue tights.
Nice.
And then, like, I went over to Walmart, and I got these... They're meant for wide receivers, like, catching gloves. And I got them, and I was like, well... You know what? Like these
they match the tights. Fuck it. Yeah, I'm AJ Styles all day.
Yeah, so I'm like, I dig it. So when I went
Let's go back to the training thing. So like, Adrian Bliss tells you you have something. I want you to come back. How'd that make you feel? Like knowing that someone like picked you out. Like you're a fucking a kid playing wrestling. And he said you got talent. Like, at that point, you have to feel like your dick's, like, 10 feet long. You're like, dude, they wanted me to come back. I told them I'm going to WrestleMania next week.
Like, I had such a mix of emotions with this. So, at first, I was like, yo, really, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah, I get to go back and do this. Like, I'm another step forward into living my dream. And
there's that word. There's a fucking word. There's the dream.
You gotta think. Like at that point in time, that's what ran through my head.
And that's the thing. In your head, you're always like, dude, it's my passion. This is my dream.
Yeah.
Until you start doing this for so long, then you realize everyone says that same fucking word, and you're like, well, if that's your fucking passion or dream, like, why don't you do anything better?
Right.
But
so,
I. every time someone says it, I have to call it out. So we're going to put that on the fucking dinger right now if we have a little counter. Number one, right now. He just said it. So
like, I get to that point, and I'm like, wow, that's nuts. But then also on that same note, I've always been super critical about myself. Like,
well, you should be.
Like, because I also do art. I do a lot of art. I do a lot of drawing, a lot of digital
stuff. And for those of you who haven't seen his art, if you don't add him on Facebook or any of the social media platforms that he's on, dude is fucking amazing with his art. Let's just throw that out there. I've seen some of your just, like, doodles, and they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm a comic nerd through and through. So, like, right. what was the Venom one you did?
Yeah.
Venom, or was it Carnage?
It was Carnage.
And then you did... either you or Ed, because once again we're going back into the Bro Force thing.
Yeah.
I want to touch base on this here shortly too, but before we get that, I want to get more on the history of you. But you or Ed in the Bro Force chat the one day posted something. It was I think Deadpool, and there was a couple other things. Was that you?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, like I did.
Dude, it was fucking really good.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like I've been doing art like I think about 14 years now.
You know what's crazy though is when I watch you wrestle. And then I see your artwork. I can tell I'm like fucking dying from this beer already. I'm drinking this Blockhouse Pumpkin beer. Not sponsoring this podcast by any way, but it's fucking delicious and I love it.
Yeah,
but
it's really good.
Yeah, sponsor us. Anyway, but when I watch you wrestle in the ring and then I watch you draw, I can see the same passion in both. It shows and mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Dinger number two.
Passion. I did. Fuck. I completely broke my own goddamn rule. I'm sorry.
Anyway, no, it's good. It's good.
But, dude, your artwork is really fucking good. Like, why? I appreciate it. What made you go, like, wrestling instead of art? Or do you just enjoy both? Like, I mean, how did that happen?
I enjoy both. The way I see it is they're both a craft that you can hone. And I started off with art, and I realized that there's so many connections between art and wrestling.
Oh yeah,
and for me it was like for art, like I get to either redraw or I can create like these characters in this crazy world and have them do whatever I want. And when I started doing wrestling, I realized like I'm actually essentially creating a character who lives in this fantastic, vibrant world, and we do these crazy stories where like we go back and forth for different reasons. And I take that same drive that fueled me to become as good as an artist as I could be, and I also put that into wrestling because I want the, like, for me art's the more intellectual, like, absolutely, side of me trying to like get stuff done, and then this is the athletic, so it kind of like they put hand in hand, they make me whole.
Why have you never taken your artwork and made gear into it, or made like something like to express yourself on a different level? Because, like, dude, I've seen your artwork and it's 10 times better than 90% of the other shit I've ever seen people draw or doodle. Like, your doodles are fucking masterpieces, whether you know that or not. Like, why have you never taken something that you've drawn and make it into something that maybe extensions of you?
Mostly because right now it's just a matter of funds.
Yeah.
Of just like finding a guy.
I mean, you're not making fucking millions on the indie scene?
The wool is pulled over your eyes, ladies and gentlemen. We don't make a lot of money. Like,
fuck, here's your hot dog and handshake, great, son.
Yeah. So
I'm glad you came. Get the fuck out of here. Right.
So it was just one of those things where it's like I've just been waiting to find somebody who I can collaborate with that I can afford to have them make my gear, like the gear that I want to make. There's actually, I have several different ideas.
I'd love to see them.
Like, even outside of, you know, doing the cop and the detective that I do, that I have other ideas just for, like, in case, you know,
there's a bigger
profile. That.
So when you break that down, you have the cop gimmick and you have the detective gimmick, which most people are like, oh, a cop and a detective, you know, pretty fucking similar. But at the same time, I see, like, just the difference that you put 100% into both different angles in which you run that, and it's so good.
I appreciate it.
Like, honestly, just so you know, like, you don't just do this for one of those things where it's like, well, I hope somebody knows. Like, I notice, and I hope other people do, because it's fantastic that you're willing to take that, like, alternate route. You have your main thing you do, and you have that alternate branch that you're like, well, you know, for whatever reason, if I need to use option B, it's there.
Yeah.
Dude, and that's what fucks me over sometimes is I have option A and option A only.
Yeah.
Like, people ask me all the time, like, dude, what's your gimmick? I'm like, I'm a fat kid from Pittsburgh, and I like to punch people in the face. Like, what the fuck do you want me to say? Like, I don't have a gimmick.
Like, I was wondering, like, because honestly, what your gimmick is what I wanted to be for a
dude,
while.
Don't ever do that. Because you get stalemated. There's nothing to do.
And I understand. But when I first started, I didn't understand that. Because this goes back to my training. When my trainer wanted me to have a gimmick, I was like...
Let's get back to that before... Because we're already like... Let me see here. We're already like 25 minutes almost. And we have an hour. And I have a lot of shit I still want to touch base with you on. How did you finally... like? So you were a yarder. You got called up by Adrian Bliss for the LCW and Valor, you know, collab. And how long did it take you to train?
I'll put first that a lot of people told me it takes between a year and 2 years before you're ready to have a match.
Okay.
That's what I was told. That was the general consensus from different trainers. Even my trainer, he's like, you know, you could be out there immediately. You could be out there in, you know, 2 to 3 years. It's we judge when you're ready.
For sure.
And I said, no, okay, that's fine. I'll just do my best.
Let me throw this out there while we're talking about this. One of the greatest things I've ever heard from Raven, I love saying this just because, like, there's a lot of shady people out there that like stealing your money. And I'm not in any way insinuating that anyone was stealing your money. Because I know Adrian's a fucking great guy.
I love
the man. He's amazing. I've never had a bad experience.
Yeah.
But even me personally, I trained for close to, you know... Well, no, there's a lot... We can do a whole fucking podcast about my training. Right. My training was fucking... Might as well have been backwoods fucking redneck yarding as possible. Dude, you don't even understand. There was a lot of weirdness. My first fucking match, I had maybe 2 days of training and I won a fucking world title. Yeah, okay, that makes fucking sense,
that's
you know?
Yeah,
wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Raven said that you can learn everything you need to know in the ring by 6 months. Anything longer, the promoter's just stealing your money. What's your thoughts on that?
If that is in fact true, then Adrian Bliss is one of the most honest guys ever.
Yeah.
Because I had my first match after 8 months of training.
Amen.
So for I guess if we're going by that rule, then I
honestly,
guess
maybe when he told me that, I believed it 100% because I feel like everything you learn in training, like the first 2 weeks, well, and by 2 weeks I don't mean like a 7 day period. I mean the first like 14 days of training, however many times a week you train. After you get 14 days in you, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, I don't fucking know, however many times a week you train. By the time you hit around that mark is where you start really grasping the concept of what makes a wrestler a wrestler.
Yeah.
You realize, like, fuck, this is going to be really hard because I have to remember a lot of shit.
Uh-huh.
And then after you do it so much longer, for example, we'll say another 3 months down the road, you're like, fuck, I got this on the back of my hand. Like, I'm ready for whatever. By that time, you're like, there's literally, I know how this business works. There's nothing you can tell me I don't know already. And then you get your break. Yeah. They're like, hey, we're going to put you on a fucking card. And you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to fucking, I have my entrance music. I have my gimmick. I have all this bullshit set up. You have your match. And there's a fucking problem. Something you don't remember from fucking training. Or like some weird curveball that just comes out of nowhere. What was your first match after training?
Okay, well, I do want to touch really quick on like the during the training thing.
I think the
reason why I took like the, you know the I think the extra 2 months if we're abiding by Raven's.
No, we don't have to. But I'm just saying like, when he said that, it makes sense because a lot of promotions out there will run a and just for those of you who listen right now that can't see, I'm doing the finger quotes gimmick, but. A lot of people will be like, oh, yeah, train for a year, 2 years, and they just fucking rob you of your money.
Yeah.
But, like, go ahead. I want to hear where this is going.
There was actually a point in time where I got in trouble because I was still kind of going back and hanging out with my buddies.
Yes.
While I was training.
My cat almost ate my face. Came out of nowhere.
And
dude, that's the thing, though. Why do people do that? Why do you do that, let alone everyone else? Like... There's kids nowadays, whenever we would run training seminars and fun little camps to see if people wanted to train, they'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I want to be a wrestler. And then like 3 months later, after training for 3 months, you see them on a yard show again. Why does that happen?
For me, it was more like a lot of my – I developed a lot of my friends there. So when I didn't really hang out with them outside of doing the backyarding. So for me, that was just me going to hang out with my buddies, and they were like, "Well, we know you got the training, so show me what you got or whatever." And I was basically like in a way, and it's in no measure how I thought it was when I was doing it, but it was kind of like throwing your dick on the table.
Yeah,
and
being like, "Look how great I am!"
Yeah, like look how great I am.
You know what's crazy
though
is now after doing it for how long have you been a wrestler now?
5 years.
5 years.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been doing it for 5. I've been doing it for 12. Probably 13. I'm getting old as shit. Anyway, let's break this down now. How weird is it when you look at that now, you realize that all you did was give them a free lesson of what you paid for?
Oh,
doesn't that burn you a little bit?
It burns.
Because I've done that. I went back and I've done the same shit.
Yeah.
And when you do it, like, at the time, you're like, but they're my friends. Like, you know, we're going to be best friends forever. Like, I want them to be good too.
Yeah.
But then whenever you look back and, like, 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, you don't talk to any of them motherfuckers, and you're the one still working indie shows, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, he's all fucking superstarred out," and you're like, "No, I just fucking pay attention to what I'm doing. I'm making myself better," and they're still like watching wrestling. Like, doesn't that suck? That like,
I had that a little bit, and you know, it was what it was for them. But you know, basically, I got caught. You know, and I straight up admitted to it. I was like,
they gave a shit for it, didn't they?
Well, Adrian Bliss, like, God bless him. He's a man of conviction. He told me, "Take your gear off right now. You're done."
Oh,
and I was crushed. I was like,
that's the worst thing.
I screwed up to that point where you know it happened. So I picked up my I was putting my stuff back on, and after a period of time of talking with the other trainers, so like the LCW had Adrian Bliss.
Hold on, fuck all. I need to hear this story right now.
Okay, well,
yeah, break this down detail for detail. All right, so you walk in the day of training.
Yeah.
And you're expecting a regular fucking day of training.
Yeah, I absolutely am. Like, I'm just...
you have no idea he knows that you backyarded.
No, not at all.
So you walk in there, you're fucking ready to go. You got all your fucking gear on.
Yep. So he's like, before we get to the task at hand, he called me. He was like, "Tyler, I know you were yarding. Get your shit off. You're done."
Ooh.
So I'm like, and everybody's just eyes are on me.
Oh yeah, you're fucking like, center stage. You got three fucking heads. Yeah. Everyone's staring.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm sitting there, and I just felt like he just crushed me, and I was like, I screwed up. This sucks. I really screwed up. And I'm putting my stuff back on, and I'm just like, man, this sucks. And after a period of time of talking with the other trainers, he comes over.
There was a little bit of "fuck you" in there. Don't lie. You were like, "Fuck you, piece of shit." I still want to wrestle.
See, but that's.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I love Adrian. Yeah. But somewhere deep inside, you still have that like, how dare you try to take this away from me?
Honestly, the way that I looked at it, like I was always, like I said, I was always super hard on myself. So I'm just, like the entire time, I'm just like, "Tyler, you're such a piece of shit. Why'd you do this? Like, you fucked it up for yourself."
It's so crazy that like while we're going through training, you don't realize how important that really is.
Yeah, you just
like,
don't
I mean, I'm not saying in general like everybody, but I know me personally, I took it for granted. I was just like, "Yeah, this is something fun to do." And now 12 years later, I'm like, "This is fucking sacred." Like while you're training, pay attention. Like,
and for for me, it was part of that. It was just like, well, it's just like we're going through the motions until I get to the serious stuff. So I never took it like. Yeah, but when, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, "Oh, man, I'm screwed up so bad." And he comes over to me, and he's like, "Come here, I want to talk to you." So I'm like, "Hey, I just told him, like, again, I'm really sorry. Like, I had no intention of, like, dishonoring what you were teaching me. Like, I understand that it was very, like, it's very important to you." And he was like, "Well," he's like, "from now on, you're going to take it seriously." So he's like, "I'm giving you another chance, but this is the last chance. If I catch you doing it again, you're done."
So first off, like, let's throw this out there. You fucked up.
Yes.
And we all know that. Yeah. I mean, looking at it from the level of professionalism that we carry now, like, that's fucking sacred. And you broke the most covenant thing of indie wrestling.
I did.
I've done it too. And I, like, honestly, I feel like that's a rite of passage you have to go through. Because I've done the same thing. And mine wasn't nearly as intense as that. Mine was more of a... "Dude, what the fuck did I tell you?" And I was like, "Oh, sorry." And he's like, "Don't fucking do it again." I'm like, "Okay." Like, and that was all I heard of it. But like, he fucking told you, "Take your gear off." Like that's like when you go to a school to train, like, and you hear, "Take your fucking gear off, you're done." You realize that this is all gone. Like everything you've ever wanted to do is gone.
Yeah. And I thought I was literally taking that whole, my whole plan and just throwing it in the trash. I thought that's what I was doing.
Damn.
So I'm sitting there the entire time, and I'm like, "Seriously, like, Tyler, why'd you do this? You're such an idiot. Like, you know, you went back just to hang out with friends, and now you're screwed." And, you know, he came back, he picked, you know, he got me to come over and talk to him, and he was like, "You're like, don't do it again." He's like, I want you to train harder than you ever did." And I was like, "You got it." Like, I need
to know, you did, right?
You
fucking went 10 times harder, yeah, and you I never busted, went back to fucking yarding.
Busted my ass, and I never...
So proud of you to hear that. Never, there's kids today. I won't mention Jeff's from Phoenix name, but that fucking kid, dude. No, it wasn't Jeff. Who the fuck was it? There was someone from Phoenix that they kept coming to training, and they were like, "Yeah, this is my dream. This is my passion." Ding, ding. There we go. We're at 4. Sanjay Butt. Yeah, you remember him? Fuck yeah, dude. I'm so glad you brought that up. That kid was the shits. He was this, I don't even know what, like, nationality he was. And that's not, I'm not trying to get racy, but he was so diehard into it. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, "He looks like Sanjay Dutt." And I was like, "Dude, you're doing a disservice to, Sanjay by saying that. Like, this kid's the shits."
Yeah.
And he came to every training and was like, "I want to be a wrestler." And this motherfucker every weekend would be at his fucking backyard show. Yeah. At fucking Melly Three Swag's fucking backyard show. I don't know if you know who that is. Dude, I went to one of his shows. It was a backyard show over in the West End area of Johnstown.
You had to go find the ladder.
Huh?
You had to go find the ladder growing in the
hole. Dude, no, you don't even understand. We went to this fucking backyard show. So, first off, this kid has a fucking Facebook profile for this backyard show. And he invites us. He's like, "I love watching you wrestle. Come watch me wrestle." And you know what I did? I was like, "Fuck yeah. How much are tickets?"
Right, yeah.
He was like, "They're free." I'm like, I'm there. I'm bringing my whole family. Like, what, you want fucking covered dish? Like, what do you need? Yeah. Like, and he's like, no. He's like, "Just come over. It's cool shit." I came over and I seen like these group of kids fucking all line up in the backyard. And he's like acting like a big shot promoter. He's like, "Look, we got Shane Malice in the house, so we can't look shitty, blah, blah, blah." And this kid, like, let's just say there's something wrong upstairs.
Uh-huh, right.
Dude, he's grilling his boys or whatever the fuck they are, your wrestlers, whatever. Whatever the fuck they want to go by. And he's telling them all, like, "Shane Malice is here, and we need to really put on a show."
Knock it out of the park, yeah.
So me, like, I feel it. I'm like, fuck yeah, they're going to go hard. Like, this is great. First match, it's two kids in the middle of this yard. No ring, no nothing, no ropes. It's just a fucking backyard of grass. And they're staring at each other, and they circle like they're about to box. And the one goes, "Come on, bitch." And the other one goes, "Fuck you, come on, bitch." And they do that repeatedly for like 5 minutes until one throws a weird-ass clothesline. And the other one grabs them, and they start going right into big-ass moves. Like, the one kid takes like a German suplex on dirt.
Oh,
and you know what my fucking response was?
Oh, shit.
No, I was like, "Oh, fuck yeah, it's a German..." Dude, it was the best fucking wrestling I've ever seen. By best, I mean worst. It was god-awful. But it was so fucking entertaining. Right. I'm sitting... We were there... Gavin, how long were we at that show?
Probably, like, an hour or two.
It was, like, an hour or two. And everyone's like, "Oh, I thought you would have left by now. I want to see the fucking main event. Like, this is going to be great." Dude, it was so terrible that it was so good. And this kid would come back weekly. And I used to tell, Rick at the time, like, he had this, like, training facility. And he's like, "Oh, you know... Just tell them they're not allowed to yard." And the same kid would come back all the time. I'm like, "Rick, like, we have to get rid of this dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, he's yarding. I was there. I seen it."
Right, yeah.
And he kept coming back. And he was like, "Well, I can do a 450. I was like, "Congratulations. You can do a little flip. How about you learn to fucking wrestle?"
Right, yeah.
And I've totally veered off subject here, but like, that to me is backyard wrestling. Is me as a wrestler now, I look at it and I'm like, this is so much fun because you don't know what you're doing, but you fucking are having a blast.
Right.
When you break your neck, that sucks. I'm going to run away so no one knows I was here.
Right,
but
yeah.
At least I was having fun until up to that point. So that was what we did as kids.
Yeah.
And then you got professional.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to add before we go into your first match? Because I'm very excited to hear that.
It was only, like, there was one big thing that really impressed upon me, and that was, like, after I was told that I was allowed to start again.
Yeah.
And I got back in that ring, and I was busting my ass, and, you know, Bliss, he would look at me and be like, "Tyler," he's like, "Chin up, dude, you're good. Just do what you don't really do." He's like, "Go back to your daily routine." So I was doing the routine and everything.
How was your guys' relationship?
Bliss?
Yeah.
Me and Bliss, as far as my wrestling career, he's like my dad.
Amen.
He's like, you know, he had a health scare a little while ago,
I remember that.
And I went over to his house. Like, we were close enough where, like, me and some of the other trainees, we'd go over to his house and have dinner with him and his family. Like, we were just really close.
Even
and, like,
even during training, like, you guys had that relationship?
Yeah, we did. Like, it was just, it was one of those things. Yeah, we were, like, he was just kind of like my wrestling day. He wanted to make sure that I was taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I knew he wasn't just out to take my money. Like, I went over to
see, my training was very militant. It was very, you're scum. You'll always be scum until you pass. And then after that, we'll go from there.
To a degree, it was like that. With certain trainers, it was like mm-hmm. that. But with him, like, he was like, the reason why I teach you these things is so that you can, so that you're taken care of and, like, you know what's going on. He's like, I just don't want to see you hurt because, you know, he cared about us. So he cared about our well-beings.
And, I mean, let's throw that out there. Adrian Bliss, like I said, I've known him for a few years now, and he's an amazingly humble guy. He really does want the best for everybody. In the business. He's not selfish in any way that I've ever met. He wants everybody to do well.
Yeah.
And I just can't say enough good things about him. He's just a super nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to him. He's the father of my career. So, that's like, I wouldn't fantastic. Be here if it wasn't for him. So, like, you know, and, you know, sometimes, like, the guys that go up to, like, the they kind of – they say, like, I'm just from this training facility or whatever. Like, I will mention to this day him and the other trainers by name. If they
what
ever
are the other trainers?
There was also Shatter, who I don't know.
I've met Shatter before.
Shatter was one of the guys that helped mm-hmm. train us. Jason Smith, who was also like the owner promoter.
Smith or whatever. Yes. Yeah, I've met him a few times. Yeah, super nice guy.
Yeah, he helped train, and then for a brief period of time, it was the Red Scorpion, and he went by Mega Destroyer for a while. But those guys, they was like the training crew. And
wait a minute, Red Scorpion went as Mega Destroyer?
No, Red Scorpion, and then there was a different guy who went under. Like, he for a while, he wrestled as Mega Destroyer, and then he was like Scotty Feelgood or something like that. He
hold on a second. So first off, I know Red Scorpion as well. Red Scorpion's a cool guy.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Mega Destroyer, and he changed his fucking name to Scotty.
Yeah.
I need to know who this is so I can be like, no, you fucking go back to Mega Destroyer. That's the most badass name I've ever heard.
He since...
Right? Yeah.
He since has, I think, retired due to some injuries and stuff like
that.
Oh,
that's terrible to hear.
But he did like a Motley Crue gimmick, and that's why he changed his name. But
okay,
for
here,
a while he did like a face
while we're on this little fucking podcast gimmick that we're doing, I need to know whoever Scotty fucking whoever is. First off, I'm sorry to hear of your injury. Second of all, can I please fucking take the name Mega Destroyer? Because I want that to be me. I want to be the fucking Mega Destroyer.
Right.
All right, anyway. So, your first fucking match. Let's get to that. Because we're already running. Let's see. I don't even fucking know. All right, we're at 34 minutes now. No, 41 minutes. We're almost at an hour, and I didn't even get to half the shit I want to talk about.
Right.
We might have to extend this.
We might have
to. Let's hit your first match. Who was your first match against?
Okay, so my first match was a complete accident, by the way, just so you know.
How does that happen?
So, after Shatter pulled me aside after that day where I almost got outed, he told me, he was like, do me a favor, stop pissing off the other trainers because it's a pain in the ass to talk to them. It's like, secondly, do as much as you can because I want to get you in the ring soon. He's like, you're ready. He's like, but take the time to learn. So after all that's done, like that made a huge impression on me.
For
he
sure.
Just he cared enough that he was like, I want to take you aside because that's when he was really like, you've got it. And nobody's ever referred to me as having that.
Yeah,
so for me,
sure.
It was like different. So fast forward then, and I'm supposed to be security for a Valor show. And one of the rules that was impressed upon us, like a cardinal thing, was always bring your gear. I'm sure you were at the same time.
Oh, yeah. So let's throw this out there. Today was the first day I came out to watch you guys.
Uh-huh.
I came out for you. I came out for Fairway. I came out for Zach. I came out to support Broforce. I came out to support Bronco, you know, Brittany Force. Everyone that was there tonight, I was like, I'm coming out to fucking show some respect. But it's Phoenix, so I'm not bringing my gear. Just so you know, that was a complete, like, no matter what they say, even if, like, I'll give you $600 billion to wrestle, I didn't have the gear, so I wasn't going to do it. That is a cardinal rule, which you are very right. You have to bring your gear every show.
Yep.
You never know when you're needed.
Yeah, you never know. So I had brought my gear with me, because that's just – I never expected in a million years that I'd have to work.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
He was just like – I was like, I have it there just in case. So I'm sitting there with a security shirt on. I'm ready to deal with these guys, like these drunken fans or whatever. And all of a sudden, Bliss comes up to me, and he's like, hey, brother. Nyla Rose's opponent was stuck in traffic in DC. She's not gonna be able to make it. So you're wrestling her. And I was like, wait, really? And he's like, yeah, do you have your gear? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, fucking A, right, you do, because that's what I taught you. So he's like, go get your gear. So I went out and I got my gear and I'm
I guarantee you went out fast as shit and got dressed within 2 minutes.
I was as fast as possible because we, like, I knew we were early on because it was basically a squash match. I'll say this first too. Nyla Rose is a fantastic individual.
Absolutely.
Like, I love Nyla. Yeah, I love her. She's such a sweet person, and she's just, like, she's another person who's just out to make sure that everybody's better.
I've never had a bad experience with Nyla ever.
No, I have not either. And so this, like, recently I hear she's over in Japan doing Japan stuff.
No shit. That's awesome.
And props to her. And I'm super supported, and I'm super happy she's doing what she loves to do. Absolutely. That's awesome. But so I'm in there, and I'm getting my gear on as quick as possible. I'm getting my, like, Fat AJ Styles gear on.
And come on, Fat AJ, you're on next.
And so, like, and he, in training, Adrian Bliss said, until we find you a gimmick, you're Tyler Styles now.
No with shit. A Z. That's right. You told me about this.
With a Z. And I was like,
that's when you know the gimmick's not going to last.
Oh, no,
You're either going to be a jobber for the rest of your fucking career, or you're a one and done. Okay, on to the next gimmick. Yeah.
So I was like, it was cringe factor was maximum.
The only thing that could have made that worse is if you were in a stable and it was the something boys and the boys had a Z in it.
Right, yeah.
Other than that, like, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, so I'm just like, great. So it's like Tyler Styles, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting my Fat AJ Styles gear on, and that's what he called me. He's like, you're like Fat AJ Styles, and I was like, oh, thanks. So I'm getting my gear on or whatever, and Nyla Rose comes over, and she's like, you look really nervous. And I was like, it's my first match, and she's like, I'm popping your cherry. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I'm like, I don't know if I would ever word it like that, but sure. So she's just having, she's probably just messing with me now at this point. She's just toying with me. She has me in the palm of her hand at this point.
So, I'd have busted your balls for days.
I was like, what do you want to do? Like, I don't know how this works. Like, do you just want to talk this over? And she was like, well, we have 5 to 8 minutes. So
she's like listen here, Green Bean, we're going to call it in the ring. Like, you're like, I just shit myself right now.
So she's like, she just gives us two or three things, and that's it. So we go out there, and I mean, like I said, it was probably like an 8-minute match. And you could tell, like, the footage is still on YouTube, so anybody who ever wants to see it, like, Tyler Styles versus Nyla Rose is on YouTube. You could see my first match ever.
For sure. Let's go watch that sometime soon. Like, actually, last time we were together, I watched that.
Yeah, you did get
to. And you know what's crazy is I can still see mannerisms you still do to this day.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, yeah. But you could tell I was super nervous. I was super stiff and just weird.
For sure.
And, like, I did this match, and, I mean, she, like, demolishes me with a spear, and, like, the crowd's just losing it because I'm, like, she's breaking me in half, basically. And, like, afterwards, like, I go to the back, and she was like, she's like, honey, you did great, don't worry about it. She was like, it was awesome, thank you so much. She was super humble, and that really left an impression on me,
for
too,
sure.
For the way that I act when I'm, like, you know, trying to, like, make sure that there are guys underneath me. I have to always try to, like, guide them through if I'm working a match with them.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. So, like, super props to her for, like, carrying me through that, because I'm sure I was the shits.
Yeah, we all go through that, though.
And she
probably gets in her car. She's like, this fucking yarder.
Right, like, something like that. So, like, but after that, I mean, we had a few more matches after that. We always had a great time. She's always a great person.
Yeah.
But that was my first match, and, like, I could not have been more proud, even though I look back on it now, and I'm always super harsh, and I'm like, that was awful. There could be so many better things I could have done. So, like, that was my first match. That was really, that was really what I, like, that's how that started.
For sure.
And from there, it was just, you know, I went back to training that next day, and Bliss was like, this guy got to wrestle. And you know why? Not because of his skill. And I was like, what?
Fuck you, I'm great. What are you talking about?
I was like, what, man? I thought for sure you picked him. He's like, no, I picked him because he had his gear.
And I was something like, so simple.
And I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, he paid attention.
Day one, always bring your fucking gear.
Like, he paid attention, he got himself on a show, and now I'm booking him on shows. And at that point, I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought I was going straight back to Green Bean School. And he was like, no, you're going to be working matches now. And ever since then, it was Valor and LCW, and we worked. And, like, I tell you, it breaks my heart that LCW isn't around anymore. But
I hear nothing but good things. I was supposed to wrestle there one time, and I had car troubles, and I wasn't able to make it. I was supposed to go with Bill Bain.
I wish you
would. And I'm so regretful that I didn't, because I've heard nothing but good things about LCW. Yes,
he, like, LCW was such a great... Jason Smith, the perfect owner, I tell you what, out of everybody I've ever met, that man has more of a brain on how to build a perfect show than I've ever met in anybody else. So props to him. And I mean, right now he's living the good life in Florida. He gets to fish and do all the fun stuff and be in the sun.
For sure.
But you know, if he ever comes back up, I am definitely, he's the first person.
Show on my list. One, you're there.
Yep, I am there.
Free of charge. I'm fucking wrestling you for that fucking hot dog and a handshake, and I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, straight up. If he ever came back, that would happen.
We are at almost 50 fucking minutes right now. And I'm so blown away by like how much time we've already passed by doing this. So fast forward 5 years. Mm-hmm. What are some of the accomplishments you've made in wrestling? Well, you said 5 years you've been wrestling, yes. Pro.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
just recently, I know you've won the Chase for the Chalice tournament.
Yes.
Which is a fucking huge Covenant thing in PA, which a lot of people that like, if you're not from the area, you don't understand. Like the Chalice tournament started off as a singles competition thing back in AON, which I don't even know if you're familiar with. It was the original.
I've heard of it, but I never heard
it's the original company from this area that before it became Phoenix, pretty much. We used to do a Thunder Cup trophy. It was a three show a day, 3 day competition. Mm-hmm. So if you're going all the way to the finals, you're basically wrestling like 9 matches, sometimes 10, 11, whatever.
Yeah.
And by the time you were done, it's usually a 3-way dance for the top 3 competitors. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins is this trophy winner. It's usually the breakout star of the year that gets that. And what's crazy is they you know, mutilate it into this tag thing for you guys this year. Or not this year. Or yeah, this year. But not just mutilate it, but they turned it into something different, and they made it into a tag tournament. They brought in how many teams for this? Do you remember?
It was 6 different teams that was brought in, and we did it was single off, and you
round robin off the tournament, or not round robin, I'm sorry,
single off tournament, and it
led, and they did it per show this time.
Yep. And okay. it culminated in the 3 teams that in the finals for the Chalice.
So there's a 3-way tag match for the,
yes.
Do you know when Phoenix first started the Gemini tag titles, they did the same thing, and I came to a ladder match. It was myself and Zach Rand as P13 versus the wild cards, Jason Raddatz and Tyler Nimmons. And, or, no, it was Jason Raddatz and Eddie Page. That's what it is.
Okay.
And then we got Tyler Caton and Travis Dufour as
The Starlight Gaze?
Starlight Gaze.
Yeah.
And, dude, we tore it down. And unfortunately, I never captured that. But anyway, back to the like, so you won that. That's huge, man. That's like when you win titles, that's one thing. Yeah, your name's in the record books, but when you win the trophy, like, that is your fucking trophy. Like, your name is always there as that year was your year.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, for me, I was like, throughout my career, I was never really super concerned with titles. Like, it's cool if you get them, but for me, I was more worried about like, are people going to remember me? Like, are people like, am I going to have that match that people are going to be talking about? That was more than I was worried about. I didn't care win, lose, draw, like double disqualification. I didn't care. I just wanted to make sure that the fans could remember me, because that means I did something right.
For sure.
And so, you know, through my career, I never thought it was like it was never a thing that concerned me. I knew it was important, but it never concerned me. So, you know, when we did this whole thing and I found out that, you know, we go through the whole thing and we find out we're getting the Chalice, I was like, you know, essentially, you know, it's the company's basically putting their faith in you.
For sure.
And that, for me, that was huge, because I was like, you know, I'm just sitting here doing the best that I can. And if you think the best is worth, you know, us being, you know, on a poster in any capacity, that's amazing. Like, that means I'm doing something right. So when we finally got everything, it's just, you know, it just exploded. Everybody was, you know, losing it and whatever. And then you guys officially announced me as Broforce.
That's where I was actually getting to.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, let's talk about any other titles or anything that accomplishments you've made in the 5 years of wrestling. Like, what have you done that, like, even just no titles at all, just any matches that were a stepping stone that launched you, propelled you into, you know, future Davey Hetfield?
The earliest one that I want to talk about is, I was still in my first year. So, I mean, like, I trained for 6 months and I was only wrestling for maybe like 6 to 8 months. And me and a couple other guys were setting up the ring for Valor, because we were going to be right outside the Lancaster Barnstormers. And we were doing this like show, this advertisement show. And so I Bliss walks over to me and he goes, "Hey, I just want to let you know you're working Tito Santana in the main event of our show." And I was like,
"Tito's amazing."
I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." He's like, "You're gonna work him, so you gotta go talk to him then." And I was like, "I'm sitting at that point. I'm nervous. I'm so nervous."
Oh yeah, you work with a name. You're gonna shit yourself.
So I'm there like 8 months in, and he's at like Tito's actually friends with the guy who owns the Barnstormers. He's up in this dude's office, so I have to go up and knock on this door.
You know what's crazy though is Tito knows fucking everybody. I swear to God, Tito knows every person on this planet by name.
Yeah,
like he'll go to like. He'll travel from like PA to fucking New Jersey, walk into some random store and be like, "Hey, Tony, blah blah blah," and he fucking knows the guy, like
straight up. And so, like, I'm this nervous little guy who's just like, you know, like,
"Mr. Santana, really, Mr. Santana,"
I was like, "We're working," and oh, here he's just sitting there casually. He's like, "Oh yeah, come in." And he's like, "We'll talk." And I was like, "Is there anything you wanted to talk about?" And he laughs, and I'm like, "Oh, this isn't
good." He's like, "I don't want to talk about shit."
And he goes, "Yeah, I'll tell you what." He's like, "I'll tell you the ending's going to be the figure four." That's it. That's all you get to know. He's like, "The rest of it we're calling out in the ring." He's like, "I'll tell you what, though." He's like, "Make mention of, like, me needing a green card since you're doing a cop thing." And I was like, first off, I was like, it's just an honor to be working with him. Now he's telling me to say these, like, things that could be, like, super
borderline racist. Yeah,
racially, like, charged.
But I'm assuming you were the heel. I mean, you're going against a name and you're a cop and he's telling. Like, that's going to be huge for you, though, because you're going to be getting all the heat. Like, that's huge.
And, like.
So he gave you that privilege to like. Did. Push boundaries.
Yeah, he did. He absolutely did. And so we go out there and we wrestle this match. And I mean, like, we're walking through the crowd to get to our match. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was crazy. Like, we're working, and I mean, like, he seamlessly, I mean, I learned so much from him. I mean, we were seamlessly without words. He was just kind of guiding me into what he wants me to do and what he wanted to do. And so we worked the match, and I go up to him and, you know, I say, "Hey, how was everything?" And he goes, "You're going to be at LCW tomorrow." Because this was a Friday show, and the next night we were doing LCW as their main show. And I was like, "Yeah, I'll be there." And he's like, "We'll talk then." So here I'm like, okay, this is bad. This is really bad. I don't know what to do. And so we get to the venue, and I see him walk up, and I say, "Hey, how you doing, Tito?" And he was like, "I'm doing great." And he's like, "We get to talk now." And I was like, "Yeah, sure." I was like, "Tell me what's up." And he goes, he's like, "How long have you been wrestling?" I said, 8 months. And he goes, "For 8 months in the business, you're doing all right, kid." He's like, keep up the good work. He's like, your figure four was a little tight, but other than that, like, you're doing a good job. He's like, keep up the good work.
All you heard from that was, "Holy fuck, I almost broke Tito Santana's fucking legs." I'm an asshole.
Yeah, the entire time I'm like, "Oh man, like, I screwed up. This is terrible." So like, he walks away, and then Bliss comes up to me and goes, "What did he say?" And I said, "Well," he said, "for 8 months in the business, I did a good job." And he goes, "You're serious? He said that?" And I said, "Yeah, like, what about it? I mean, I'm sure he's just being nice or whatever." And he's like, "No." He's like, "He didn't have to be nice to you. He could shit all over you and sleep like a baby the next day because he's a name. He doesn't have to care about your opinion." So it was like, that was genuine. That's what that means. Like, he doesn't kiss asses. Like, he'll come up and he tells you exactly how he feels. And that's how he felt. That's amazing. He's like, "You should take that to heart."
For sure.
And that, like, that's super, like, shaped me. And then moving forward, he actually keeps tabs on me, I find out.
Yeah?
Like, yeah, he actually, like, there are times where he looks up to see how I'm doing and stuff like that, and he, like, whenever he comes up into the area, if he ever sees me, he wants to talk to me.
That's awesome.
So, like, he's like, that kid's gonna make it big somewhere. He's like, I can tell. And to me, that was
so huge. You can't fucking let him down. You gotta do it now.
Yeah.
You gotta be like, "I made it to fucking WWE. You know why? Because Tito Santana said I had to.
He called a shot and he was right. Like,
Vince, call me up. Like, let's fucking do this. I'm ready. Tito says.
Yeah, like, Tito said that I'm gonna do it someday. So I'm like, hopefully someday's today.
So we're 3 minutes, no, 2 minutes away from being at the hour mark. We might push past a couple more extra minutes. But before we do, so you have the match with Tito. You start pushing your career. 5 years of wrestling. Mm-hmm. You have your accomplishments. You know, you're just most recent one. Like I said, the Chalice. You get called up to Broforce. What does that mean to you? Because I know, let's throw this out there. When people hear Broforce, they hear different things. Some people are like, Broforce, and word for word, the way I've heard this described by some of the wrestlers is that's the most faggoty sounding thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
And then I've heard aren't you guys that, like, Illuminati of wrestling?
Yeah.
And which is funny, because that's the way I look at it. I'm like, fuck yeah, we are. We're super, yeah, like amazing. Super,
yeah.
But, and then I've also heard, that sounds so fucking stupid.
Right.
How does Broforce, like, let's do, it's a three-peat, okay? It's a challenge where I want to hear what your opinion is of it, what you think the fan opinion is, and then your expectation versus reality of it after you already became part of it.
So, I heard about Broforce, like, first off, you talk to me sometimes, you're like, hey, I'm talking to Broforce or whatever, and I'm like, oh, what's that? And you're like, it's this group, but it's, like, super tight. And, of course, you know, the first question to me is, well, I want to be on this because, like, I know a bunch of the guys that are part of it, and you're
dude,
like, no,
there
it
is,
work like
there's
that.
People out there that don't understand how, like, I don't know about you, but I know me on a constant basis. People are like, bro. As soon as I hear bro, the first thing I know is they want to know fucking Broforce.
You're
like,
right, yeah, yeah.
How do they want to ask to get in? And I get hit so often with, dude, what is Broforce? Or how do I get into Broforce? Or,
yeah.
You know, and until you tell them no, and of course they get all butthurt by it, and they're right, like, oh, right, Broforce right. Fucking stupid, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But, like, how often have you heard already, like, dude, get me into Broforce?
So far, I mean, I'm still really young into this, so it's like...
You are, we know you as fish
yeah,
in it, you're the
yeah,
fresh
I'm
fish.
Still, yeah, I'm still fish, so for me, it's...